This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Who you are, literally who you are, affects how you feel about this economy. That includes gender and race and sexual orientation. And that last item, sexual orientation and money, basically, is the seed of a new project from the Nancy podcast from WNYC Studios. It's about the LGBTQ experience. They partnered with a polling firm, Morning Consult, to find out how people in the LGBTQ community are feeling about their personal finances and why they feel that way. The series is on this week. It's called Queer Money Matters. Tobin Lowe and Kathy Tu are the hosts of Nancy. It's good to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kathy, let's get to the nuts and bolts of what you found. Mm-hmm. LGBTQ people in this population, they just feel differently about money than cis and heterosexual people do.
Yeah, unfortunately, more depressed, more shame. In our survey, we asked people to tell us how they feel when we bring up things about personal finance. And over 50% said that they felt anxiety compared to 41% of the straight cisgender folks. And I mean, there could be a variety of factors that lead to that. Do you want to talk about like having a family, a stable family in our society when just conceiving a child costs like so much more money? Like when you think about all these different milestones in your life, everything ends up costing more and you're earning less. Yeah, I think I fall in that category, anxiety.
Yeah. Tobin, something you said, I guess it was in episode zero, right, which aired last week, or the trailer for this series. You said this economy is basically built, in your experience, it's built for cisgendered and heterosexual people. Explain that a little bit.
Well, I think that personal finance can be difficult for anyone for any number of reasons. But I think a very real thing that came up for me is I looked around at some of my straight cisgender friends, and there was this sort of path for them where they got married, then I would get the Christmas card from them at their house with their kid. And there was an element of it just felt organic and sort of natural to roll into those next steps. And each of those next steps came with some kind of financial bump or a little bit of a tax break, let's say, or something that sort of got you to the next stage. And so one of the things that we found in the series and talking to people, each of those steps come with sort of a complication or a hurdle that queer people have to think about.
Can I do a really quick detour here for a minute
and
talk about verbiage, queer versus gay or LGBTQ? People are going to hear queer and say, wait, what?
Yeah. So obviously the word queer has a lot of different meanings for a lot of different people. We hear all the time actually from older folks who listen to the show that for them it can have a really negative connotation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think for us and for a lot of folks, we're trying to reclaim the word a little bit. And also when we use it on the show especially, we're using it as sort of a shorthand for anyone who identifies as part of the LGBTQIA+ community. It's sort of our shorthand way of saying, you know, this community that identifies as part of
it. Yeah. And it's not like a debate about how long this acronym can go or how big it should be and who it includes and doesn't include. It's literally
how long the acronym goes, right?
I mean,
it's just because it goes.
Yeah.
One of the things that hit me in this series, and I forget where it was the observation by one of your analysts or your experts that gay men make more than all other women, gay, straight, take your pick, and that there is, even within the queer community, there are dynamics that affect how progress is perceived.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a mistake that commonly gets made is talking about the queer community as a monolith. There does seem to be a public assumption that all queer people are better off. And because of things like, well, maybe they don't have kids, maybe they're always on vacation because they have that expendable income.
It's that idea of gay affluence, right?
Exactly. And when you really break that down, I think what a lot of people are imagining is that gay male same-sex couple, which even in the research that we talked about, you know, there's evidence that shows that gay and bisexual men earn 10% less than their straight counterparts.
Right.
But right. even so, like, the thing that you're getting at and that we talk about in the series is this nuance of, you know, but if you compare gay men to, for example, women who are in a same-sex relationship, they're both affected by the gender pay gap. Mm-hmm. So they're earning less already. And then it's even, I think, lower and worse for transgender folks.
Right. So the issues that, that plague society writ large are piled on top of the issues that LGBT
– Sorry, we say
are
queer.
Piled on top – It's, I know, right?
Why
it's really
clear?
Just a mouthful. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to roll with that. The issues at society at large are get piled on top of the queer community issues that they have to deal with,
yeah.
that you all have to deal with, right?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
At the end of the day, this series ends Friday. My guess is that you had incredible response already. What do you want people to get out of this?
I think the most important thing is for people to feel like they are not alone when they feel like a nagging in the back of the head that maybe something's not right, because that's something that I felt before. Like, why am I working so hard to make this happen when the system doesn't seem built for me? So that's one thing. The other thing is just the power that comes from talking about our issues when it comes to money, I think is very important for us to be able to talk about money, and then we can sort of tackle the obstacle that's in the way.
Well, I'm going to say something that's sort of ironic, given the fact that, full disclosure, I used to work for Marketplace.
But yeah, fair enough.
Money and finance terrifies me. And so,
me too sometimes, man.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, yeah. It can be a scary thing, and it can be especially a scary thing to talk about, and especially when it involves personal finance. So yeah. I think a big thing we were hoping with this series is that people would feel more comfortable just to talk about the things they were experiencing. And like Kathy was saying, to feel less alone. You know, you're not imagining it. There are ways in which the system is not built for you. Mm-hmm. And so then how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
Right. Tobin Low and Kathy too, and a series from their podcast, The Nancy Podcast, from WNYC Studios. Thanks, you two. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.